Okay. So we're doing Tesvav and Alf Bavakam. So it says, it's a famous sugya about Machatzi Nezek. Knas or Mama? Okay. So the basic fact, which I'm sure you're familiar with, is that for sure the damages, gores, or whatever, right? So the first one or two times, it's he pays Chatzi Nezek. And if once he becomes a Muad, the third time, or after three times, then he has to pay Chatzi Nezek Shalom. Okay? Another difference, which isn't we're not going to take up, but if it's Chatzi Nezek, it's limited to Megufa. So if the damage is, let's say you're worth $100 and the show you damage is worth $1,000, so even if the damage, let's say, 600 worth of damage, so then you cap out your damage at your $100. So the owner of the chat of the shartam doesn't have to pay more than his body is worth, the whole shar. But the muad pays the full damage, min haliyah. Okay, fine. So the strange thing is, what's chatzi nezek? Right, you could ask, manushach, either you're chayiv, it's your fault, and you should have to pay the full thing, or it's not your fault, and then you should be potter. Right, and that's what the sugya is grappling with, is the idea of paying half sounds like a compromise, but why a compromise? Manushach, is it your fault? Is it not your fault? Right? Okay. Tzedmar. Palga Nizka. Rav Papa Amr Mimona, Rav Huna Breda Rav Yeshua Amr Knasa. So is it Mimona or is it Knas? Okay. So what's a nafkamina?
If you have your moda b'neid.
Right, exactly. If you're moda. So moda b'knas is potter. Right? So, Rashi says it. Mimonos all the way up. Din hu shi yishalmano. It's din. Ve'enu knas. Ve'nafkamina di moda mekame dasusadi lo miftar. So if you admit before the witnesses come, so by a knas, it's asher yashir Elohim. The Bezin has to find you guilty. So, but if you are part of the Mashiach Sasa, if you're a Mashiach yourself, then you don't pay a knas when you admit. If you come clean, before they don't come, you're off the hook. So that's the nafkamina. It's a mamon or a knas. Okay, so mamon, Rashi tells us, means din. Right? It's din, as opposed to it's not din, but it's a penalty. It's a credit penalty. Okay. So, Rav Papa, so that's Machlokas, right? Rav Papa is saying it's Mamon, and Rav Yeshua is saying it's a Knas. Okay. So, the Gemara says like this. The Gemara is going to explain the Machlokas. It says, Rav Papa Amar Mimona, Kasavar, Stam Shvarim, Lav Bechazkas, Shimor, Kaiman. Okay? So Stam Shor is not assumed to be guarded. Rashi, Abhashimakami, Shirigilim bin Agicha, Tzrichan Shmira. They're accustomed to goring, and they need guarding. Right? So they're not Bechezka Shimor, means they're not assumed to be guarded. Right? But rather, you have to guard them, right? Because they gore. Right? So Stam Shor is assumed to gore. You have to guard it. And therefore, what should happen? If it gores? Chayim Nezek Shalim. Right? So, min ha-din, since it's assumed to gore, she should be Chayim Nezek Shalim. Rachmana, hu dechas alea. Rachmana, the Torah is mekel. The merciful one is a mekel on you. Has compassion on you. Namely, on the mazik. So not make him pay the full amount. Akati lo iyay ture. Because the shor is not yet a muad. Right? So since it's not yet a muad, even though it's assumed to gore, it's not yet a muad. Therefore the Torah is lenient on him to make him pay chatzi. To let him pay chatzi. Yes.
The Lashon of Rashi is a little bit confusing now because it says that the whole idea of Lav Paskashim or Yeshua Regilim ben Egipa.
Right.
I thought the idea of a Muad is to establish Regilis.
Right. That's good. True. I thought a Muad is Regilim ben Egipa and a Tam is not. Okay. So what do you say to that? Right. What's the difference? Shot. And Rashi says that what does Lava Chatzishim Rakame mean? It means that it's, as you say, Regila Menegicha, right? It's accustomed to goring. But isn't that what a Muad is? Isn't it, what's the difference between a Tam and a Muad then? Tell me, even a Tam, all Shvarim are Lava Chatzkas, you know, Lava Chatzishim means Regila Menegicha. So what does Muad even do? Right?
Is it proper?
Okay, but isn't it? Okay, good, but. So what's the difference? Isn't the point of a chazaka to say that it's ragil? Isn't that the job of a chazaka to say that?
Yeah. You could say like the whole thing is stam shvarim. So like the classic shvarim are ragil and megicha, which is why you're chayav in shmira.
Right.
And then rachmanis chas because you have three strikes and then you're out. But on a personal level, your shor has established itself. And like an individual chiyuv that's incumbent upon you to be extra
machmir. Right. Okay, good. I mean, it's plain pshat. I mean, hopefully we'll get it better. But yeah, the plain pshat is like the ragil in general sense, the species in general gores. But that doesn't mean every single particular one is goring all the time. So, I mean, look, there is something against it, and there is, I mean, at the end, because the species gores, the ragil and gicha, you have to guard it. But does this particular one isn't necessarily a gore? Just it's an often enough. The species is, it does it often enough that there's a slavus. But this in particular has been established as muhsak as a gore. That's different. And now what the difference is, we still have to see. But there's a difference between saying this that it's expected for the species versus saying this one in particular has a track record.
Okay. Right.
Right. Okay, look, just because even presumably the facts are not that Shvarim are Reginim and Gicha means they're always doing it. And it just means it's regular, it's normal, it happens. It's, we'll see, we have to get more into it a little bit. But something like that, right? So what's it saying? So the Torah is Merachem on you because you're not yet a Mu'ad. So what's the problem? What's the problem with that?
The other guy.
What? Yes, exactly.
Awesome,
yeah, exactly. Usually, Mamanus is in an area of Rachman. Because in Rachim on one person is being Achzarius, so to speak, on the other guy. Right? What do you tell that to the victim? I only have Rachmanus on him. Right? So, like, if you have a judge, he didn't in Fashos, it might be a good Milo that a guy's a Rachman, but then in the Fashos, you don't want to prosecute a guy, you want to have. Let him off, but I mean, it's not a good ma'ilah to be a merachim. They didn't need a mamonis, and they're two people, right? So, what's the sense to say the Torah's merachim on him? It's not fair to the other guy, right? And why? Because he's not yet a mu'ad. Okay, but I mean, it doesn't, you know, we kind of dealt with that as this question a little bit, but I mean, the bottom line is who cares if he's not a mu'ad yet? If you're telling me that it's regil and lingoach, right? So who cares the kati lo yet? Well, what's the difference if that's considered enough? The species is considered enough to make it ragil and to make me chayiv min aden. So what's the sense of being merachim on me because it's not yet a mu'ad? Who cares, right? Okay, that's the first shita, right? Who was that, Rav Papa? Okay, Rav Papa, the Rishon Mar Kenasa. Rasevar. Stam shvar mechazkas shimer kami. No, the opposite. A stam shvar is assumed to be guarded. Uvedin hu delo l'shalim klal. I mean, aden, you really shouldn't have to pay anything. Rachmana hu dekansei. The Torah penalized them. Kihechi delintere l'ture. In order that, he'll guard his shvar. Yeah.
So is this more strict?
More strict
than the mamonkis and
Well, not really. Either way, you're paying half. In fact, it's more lenient because if you admit, you're going to be pater. What?
You're pater
if you admit. Right. So the conclusion, besides for admitting, is the same. 50 But minadin, it's more makel. Minadin, it's saying it's really you should be pater. Minadin, the other one, saying you should be chayef. I mean, they both agree 50% doesn't really make sense intrinsically. Right? Because either you're chayef or you're not chayef. So either pshat is intrinsically a chayiv full in Torah's Merachim, intrinsically you're worth not Yishri, chayiv nothing, and Torah creates a superadded kenas, a penalty. See if it's the 100%, if it's a cut down from the 50, from the 100, so the 100 would have been din, that's not kenas, that's mama. Now when you cut it in half, that doesn't make it into a kenas, you're just, so to speak, Merachim and saying you don't have to pay the full mama, but its status is mama. But if you say that it really should be chayiv zero, so I'm in a din, not mama, and you chayiv nothing, and then Torah is adding on a kenas, right? So why is the kenas? So that he guards his shah. So what's the problem with him? What's the problem with the shita?
Bechezka shimur.
Right. Since it's bechezka shimur, so why are you penalizing him? So that he guards his shah. But it's already bechezka shimur. So what do you need to, why do you, I thought that's the point. Presumably bechezka shimur means they're not regil lingal. Right? So why do you have to force them to guard it? They're not assumed to, they're not regil lingal anyways. Right? So it's like either way you go, you got a problem.
That position assumes that they're not royal lingal.
Well, he says it's bechezka shimur. Now Rashi said la bechezka shimur meant that they're regilim in negicha, right? They're accustomed to negicha. So then if you say mechezka shimur, presumably that means they're not regilim in negicha. Right? They're assumed, that's what it means, they're assumed to be guarded. Mechezka shimur means they're assumed to be guarded. Why are they assumed to be guarded? By who? Must be they're assumed that they don't guard. Right? And if they're mechezka shimur, now why do you have to guard it? And the answer is you don't, really. You don't make her then. But there's a kenas in order that you do guard it. Right? Well, why do I have to guard it? If they're ready b'chaz kashimor, so why is the Torah to give a kenas so that I guard it? So ready b'chaz kashimor? Right? Seems superfluous. Right? So that's another problem. That seems is also difficult. Okay, and what else? There's one more problem on this whole thing. Right. That exactly. What's the machlokas? Sounds like a Matthias question. Are Stam Shvarim assumed to gore? Or are they not assumed to gore? I mean, what's the Matthias? Right? I don't know, look around, do a study, I don't know, whatever. Isn't that what's the Matthias? Right? So either side on its own is difficult. Right? And then what they're arguing about is difficult. But they're kind of separate problems, right? You can see it's like on the one hand, you can kind of isolate each sheet on its own, try to explain each one's theory. And then, in a more general sense, you try to juxtapose the two. Right? Logically, what do you think? You think it's wise to take up the each sheet on its own first, or to first take up that machlokas? Yeah, now, there's no right answer to these types of questions. So my opinion is that it's easier to narrow, start with smaller problems, and then broaden out your scope. To like, the more focused the problem is, the easier it is for your mind to grab hold of it. So within each sheet on its own, like they're taking an assumption. Sure, we may not fully grasp the assumption because there's a machlokas, but try to let's get each sheet on its own clear. Okay, each sheet kind of takes an assumption, so we'll go with their assumption, and then understand their system. And then we have to, once we understand the two systems, then we can see and it's almost they each start with a premise, and now they develop a system based on their premise. And then there's machlokas, is which premise do you start with? Right? So I don't know, in theory they're separable, and you can do it either way. But that's generally what I like to do is to isolate out smaller problems and then work. So we build by building small pieces and then putting together the bigger picture. So, I'm not sure in this case it would matter, but that's what I would think. Okay, so if that's the case, we can start at either side. It doesn't really matter.
What's that easier?
What? Is any of them easier? I don't know. What do you think? Which one of them do you think is easier? That's a good way. You could either go in order or you could think if one of them sounds easier.
Say it with Ellie.
Yeah. Yeah, right. The first, second side seems a little bit easier. You say they don't gore. But the Torah makes a knas. It happens sometimes. Knas is whatever. That's super added type of a thing. Rachamim sounds harder because what's Rachamim? Why are you being Rachamim on the guy? Like you said, what about the other guy? But he's saying that they don't gar. But yeah, but sometimes it does something like that, right? Okay, so when we start with that side, when we read the Rishon, right? So Stam Shvarim Ches Geshimor, but towards Kones Geichel and there is Dure. So again, the kasha is if he's Ches Geshimor, he's not Regil and Goach, then why is there? What do you need to make a Knas for? Plain pshat. I mean, that's the reason why you chayav for Yeshua doing damage altogether. I think plain pshat is it doesn't make sense to say that the shor should be chayav, because the shor is not a bar das. The shor doesn't know what it's doing. What are you going to say? You know, he's chayav and you have to pay instead of him. That sounds far fetched to me. Rather, it seems to me is that it's like the Torah says by muad, but I think it's by plain pshat, lo yishmenu balav, that you owing money and you have an animal. Animals might be prone to doing damage. Certainly, the Shane and Ragel. It's like you, when you own an animal, you're chayev to guard it, right? So ultimately, it always traces back to the person. It's just like an adam hamazik, you're chayev for the action that you're doing. But here, when you have a shor, you know shvarim don't have minds. So you own an animal, you have to be the mind to make sure it doesn't do damage. And if for the fact that you don't guard it. So now you're responsible for the damage it does when you don't guard it. Now, unless it's assumed to be guarded. And that's where the question comes. If it's assumed to be guarded, then I don't have to guard it. So then that's why I'm not going to be chayef. Menadem. Because I didn't do anything wrong. But it ultimately traces back. If you, that's why the plain shot is, if it's b'chezka shimor, that means it's safe, it's tame, it doesn't do anything wrong. So then that's why I'm not chayef. I shard the damage. Yeah, who cares if you showed the damage? It's not a matter of you showed the damage. The point is that you failed in your shmira. But if I didn't fail my shmira because it's b'chez kashimor, you see, then I'd be potter. And even though it says it's chayv, it's only because it's saying la b'chez kashimor, la b'chashimor, well, then you got to guard it. So it seemed to follow that ultimately, this chayvus of your mama namazik is ultimately not just because you own it, but it's because you should have been guarding it. To be honest, why do I have to pay? Because my animal did damage. What do I care? Unless you say it comes down to my failure in some form or other. Right? What is good is that in this particular shor, he's saying is it doesn't really do damage. Right? It's not really regiling goach. And therefore, I have no reason to have to guard it. It's not likely enough. Right? It's not likely enough that I'd have to guard it. Doesn't mean it never happens, right? It's not likely enough that I mechayev me to have to guard it, right? But let's say it's 1 in 1,000. I don't know another number, but let's say so. That's whatever. That's like a crazy thing, right? 1 in 1,000. But if everyone doesn't guard their shvarim, then one out of every thousand shvarim damaged. Well, then that's going to create in society a lot of shvarim in society. So it's going to end up. You're going to have a lot of innocent victims, right? So therefore, the Torah, for the sake of society, it's good if everyone guards their shvarim. It's not so hard to guard your shvar, the fence or whatever it is, and now you end up protecting the people, the 1 out of 1,000 people who get damaged. So the Torah puts a fine on a person in order so that as a deterrent, ki heichi din inter eleture, saying is, look, even though lavach is b'cheska shimor, sure, but there's a shimor natural, and then there's a shimor with a fence. Obviously, the shimor with a fence, or whatever it is much more dependable than just the natural shimor. The natural shimor fails sometimes. So the Torah, for society, it's better if people guard it actually than just rely upon the nature. The nature is not dependable. So therefore, it will be better for society if everyone guards their shvarim. And how do you get people to do that? By imposing a penalty in the case that the shvar does damage. If that's the case, then people will be guarding the shvarim. So it's a good for society for people to do that. And the way you enforce it is by setting up a deterrent, a penalty. Right? Okay, so why is it chatzi nezek? Why not nezek shalem? I think as Aaron was saying, it's like, look, it's not a full damages, because that would imply that really it's been a din, right? If you pay full damages, then you're implying that really it's your fault, By doing chatzi, it on the one hand, it gives you a deterrent, enough that's going to cause you to guard it. But at the same time, it's not really your fault, right? So it doesn't make it nezek shalim. Nezek shalim implies that it's really on you. So it's the Torah set up. I mean, in theory, you could have set up 30 shekel, I don't know, some number. But here the number is somehow, it's not the full damage, but it's at least in line with what's, look, maybe if you're around the super duper expensive shar, maybe you, for society it's worthwhile to be more on guard, right? If you're around something, if the potential damage is greater, and we want to deter a person, we want to be on guard, to make sure that he's on guard about his about the shar, so it's corresponding to what the animals which he's around are worth. So it is reasonable that it should be proportional to that which he's doing, the damage which is being done. But at the same time, it's not the full damages, because that's reserved for when he's truly responsible. Here the point is just to set up enough of a slap on the wrist that it'll get him to guard it. Right? And you see also it's capped out at the damage of his shar. To make him have to pay more than his thing is worth, it's not worth it for him. It's annoying. That's not the point here. Isn't to make him intrinsically responsible. It's enough to be a deterrent. So if you say you're gonna have to lose half the value, the full value of your shar, that's enough to make a deterrent. Nobody, you're not gonna risk the value of your shar. The point of owning a shar, if you can lose your whole shar, then that's enough of a deterrent. We don't have to make you mechayev to start paying out of your pocket. That's not necessary. You can lose it, right? Guard it or lose it, right? Or up to its value. That's for the side of the Rishon, the second one, though, right? So if Papa holds, he's the harder side. He holds, no, Stam Shvarim, the Labuchas Kashimir Kami, right? Labuchas Kashimir Kami means, there Rashi says, they're a Gilm and Goach. And since they're a Gilm and Goach, they're not assumed to be guarded, right? So I, therefore, have to guard it. And if I don't guard it, and it gores, it's a result of my lack of shmira, and therefore I should be chayev nezek shalim min haden, right? But the Torah is merachem on me because it's not yet amud, right? Right. So how do we explain that? Question they ask. I forgot who. Someone asked us, why don't you say, like, Shane and Regel? So Shane is if the animal eats, or has pleasure, some sort of pleasurable thing which causes it to do damage. What's that? Scratches its back, right? Something which is doing for its pursuing its own pleasure, does damage. And Regel is if it's like walking, steps on it, right? Well, it's normal in Derechila, Jorge. So that also you're chaya for. That's Nezek Shalim, right? So they ask, why isn't Torah Merachim on you there? Right? Torah's Chas Rachmana here, why isn't it Chas over there? Right? The only thing is, those are normal. Here, it's not quite normal. It says here because it wasn't yet a Muad. I guess they say the Muadim et Chilasan. That's the thing, is they're soon to be Muad. But here, it sounds like even if you say, and this gets to the point that Ezra made, is that even if you say that Labachas Gashim or Kaime and the Regil Lingoach, they're not quite mu'adim, because he says Torah's merachim because it's not yet a mu'ad. So apparently it's not quite the same as a mu'ad, even though it's regil l'ngoach. Because manashach, if you're telling me that it's just regil l'ngoach, then I should be then why are you merachim on me? If you tell me, well, it's not yet a mu'ad, and therefore it's not regil, so then why mechayev and aden? Why should I be mechayev and aden? So the assumption is when you own an animal, it has to be guarded one way or another, either naturally or by you. So if it's naturally mishumar, then you don't need to guard it. But if it's not naturally mishumar, then tzrichin shmira. Right? The assumption is, though, that animals have to be guarded. This far, this is Rabbi Zimmer said this with the svar. He had a good example, which is similar to what you're saying, Ezra. Which is like this. Is he gave this example, I think when he was learning this once, is in the news as a story. I tried to Google and get the particulars. I couldn't get it exactly. But there was this, like 5, 6, 7 years ago, there was this oil spill, like BP. BP had some sort of negligence. in their offshore drilling, and it caused this oil spill, which caused...
2008?
Maybe. I thought it was 2010. I don't remember. Whatever. But it caused billions of dollars of damage. I think it's the Gulf of Mexico and the cleanup, and right, it was a massive, massive thing. So they got fined. I think it ended up being around $20 billion, $18 billion, something like that. Right? Now the problem is that... Now again, I don't know the facts exactly, but the point is that if damages, if a company costs to pay $20 billion, it could bankrupt the whole company. Right? It can make it... Right? It can make it not... Well, the point is that type of payment could cause it to be not worthwhile for a company, a massive company, which has lots of different areas which it's involved in. If it's at risk of having to pay a $20 billion fee, fine, then it's going to be arguably not worthwhile for the business to be involved in offshore drilling. It's not worth it. That could bankrupt an entire company. So, and this is what I couldn't find, but what I was saying is that there was some sort of an upper bound which they put on the fine. But basically, they capped out the fine at X dollars. Why? Because sometimes it's good for the world to have offshore drilling. It's important. There's oil which is available in the world. But no one's going to do it. No company is going to do it if it's going to risk their entire company to put them out of business. It's too much. Right? But then you're not going to have anyone do it. So therefore, it's in order to incentivize people to be involved in offshore drilling, they capped out the fine at a certain amount. Okay? So the argument is here, similarly, is that we are an agrarian society. It's important for the world to have shvarim. Shvarim do work. They're big, heavy, gabei magasa, and they do work. And it's necessary for society to be able to grow, to have food, for everything, to be able to have shvarim. Right? And if you're going... Now, another problem is that a shor could do a lot of damage. Right? If a shor does damage, it could go on a wild spree, just all of a sudden, on a dime. It could just blow a fuse somehow. Just go crazy. And it could cause the thousands of dollars or whatever worth of damage to out of nowhere. Right? So even though regilim and agicha, but it doesn't mean it's common. Right? So it could cause tons of damage. And to the point that if you're going to obligate every person at any time a shor damages to pay the full damage, it's going to be prohibitive on a person from owning an animal. And it's not going to some extent, it's not going to be worth it. People are going to be less inclined to be owning animals. So what the Torah did is it was chas, that it limited your responsibility. Okay, for the sake of society, it limits their specific society, and the sake of having shvarim in society, it limited a person's responsibility on the damages which they're going to have to pay. Assuming, look, once it's crazy, and it's proven to be a crazy, aggressive shor, society doesn't need those guys. Those guys you don't need to have for society. Those are crazy guys. You want to have them and kill them or guard them with, seriously. But just the stam, run-of-the-mill shor, it's not commonly doing damage, it's not often, but at the same time, it does happen to the point which you really should be responsible. But again, if you're really going to make every person responsible for that, it's going to be a disincentive to have shvarim in the first place, which is going to be worse for society. So basically, the Torah's Ruchas is like, society says, you know what, we'll split it with you. Whereas it will split the responsibility with you. You'll pay half, and the society will pay half, which in this case is the Nizak. Right, but the Nizak is a potential shor owner also, right? So it's Rachmanis on him, but it's Rachmanis on society as a whole. So the Nizak, in a certain sense, the way society covers it, is that the Nizak will pay it, in theory the next time will be the other guy. So this is like a better plan for society, in order to make sure that society grows and people do have shvarim, is to have a limited responsibility. You know you're an andok. And not only that, but limited in terms of migufa also. You're not going to have to pay, go bankrupt. You're not going to have to pay out of your pocket. Like a business, you have limited to liability, you don't have personal responsibility. The same sense here, you're limited to the business itself, namely the shor. So that's part of the way the Torah wants to cap out a guy's damage also, is that if you have a shor, any shor, it could do thousands and thousands of dollars worth of damage, and you're going to have to pay for that. Maybe, again, you're not going to have a shor. So it caps it out by both two ways, Megufo and the Chatzi Nazik. Right? But because it's Lakati Lo Yature, once the Yature, then it's already crazy. Then we can't be Rachas on him. That you can't be Chas on, because that really is a menace to society, and it's not worth it. Society's better off to not have Sharm Woods. If you're not going to be able to guard your Sharm Wood, then don't have it. But you can't say that by Shartams. Then no one's going to have Shvarim. I can't guard him properly. It's just not, apparently it's too much. So while it's good to guard it, at the same time, it's too much to make it too much to burden every single person. Every time Shart does damage, they're going to have to pay the full amount. Menaliyah. Exactly. The reason why it's okay for the Benizak to take a 50% hit is because the system benefits him also. It's good for the world. He gets food. Even if he, first of all, he's a Shar owner, probably. I mean, this Dom case, he's going another Shar. And even if he's not, look, he's a food eater. It's like the world, everyone in theory gets food and gets benefits from there being a malacha in society. Right? That's what allows societies to thrive. Right? Now we're up to each side on his own, assuming, the first one was assuming that Shvarim are safe. Right? Second mandamer is assuming Shvarim are aggressive. Right? And not safe. So each one on his own, given his assumption, we've explained the system, right? But what's the machlokas? They both have this in common, is this idea of the imbalance between the individual and the society, right? That's a common theme to both svaras. Though in a different type of way. Okay, so it's saying like this, is that, what's the facts? Do they not do damage, right? So, with any of these things, I think you have to assume some set of facts, right? Generally, a middle type of facts, right? Right. So the middle facts would be that it's semi-common, right? It's not regilim, it's not really gragil, but at the same time, it's not abnormal. It's somewhere in the middle, right? Okay. So what? So what's the question?
It wouldn't be a big machlok about what's that?
Oh, well, I haven't yet explained that, let's say. So say, as the facts are that it's, let's say the number we give it is 1 in 1,000, okay? Okay, I'm just making up that number, I don't know what it is, but let's say it's 1 in 1,000. So is that ragil? Semi, right? It's not crazy, it's not common. So the thing is, yet, although it's not common, let's say that number objectively is not that common, but the damage which a shor could do is very much. Okay? It's not very common, but it could cause thousands of more thousands of damage. Imagine a wild shor that are very big and could get wild, and it could kill other shor, and it could go on a rampage, could destroy all the trample guys, right? Could go crazy. So you could argue is that when it comes to money, this is always the case, is there's a balance between the risk, the probability, right? The probability that something's going to happen, and the damage which will happen, assuming it does. Like a person buys life insurance. A young guy is 20 years old, 25 years old, with a wife and a little kid, will buy life insurance. See, what are the odds a 25-year-old dies this year? Very low. Right, but if it does happen, it'll be devastating to his family, and he wants them to be able to, pay the mortgage or whatever it is. Right, so when things are not that common, there's another variable which is factored in when you're considering risk, which is how common is it, but then how great is the risk? Right, so the question is a person's obligation of Shmira entirely based upon probability? And you have to guard something if it reaches a certain baseline of likelihood. If that's the case, then Shvarim are not, they're not really raga. It's not likely enough that they're b'cheska shimur. They're assuming they're pretty safe. And the likelihood of a shor doing damage is low. And therefore, you're not really responsible. That's the argument of Rav Papa? Yeah, I think Rav Papa, right? That's the argument of Bechezka Shimon.
Yes.
That's Ravuna? Okay. That's Ravuna. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, fine. So that's Bechazka Shimur, right? But La Bechazka Shimur says that your obligation of Shmira cannot be based upon probability alone, but it has to factor in the potential damage which will happen, assuming the unlikely occurs. There's a ratio. So the math, it's called the mathematical expectation. It's the product of the value and the probability. So the point is that your obligation of to guard has to factor in the potential damage. And while it's true it might be 1 in 1,000 that the shard is going to do damage, since the amount that it could do is so great, so therefore it ends up, that's not considered with Eskishima. That quantity of guardedness is not sufficient due to the amount of damage which it could do. So that's the machlokas. Is your cheshmira obligated, totally based upon probability? You could argue that. You could say, look, it's not likely what I have to think about something crazy is going to happen. It's crazy. It's too far-fetched. On the other hand, you could say, look, that's the way the world works, is that if it's great, if the damage is great, then that's part of your, what determines your chiyuv. Right? It's a good model. It's a good example of resolving a machlokas mitzias, you know? It fits well with the sugya, because the whole sugya is about the social considerations. Both sides are somehow factoring in the person, individual, living in a society.
Yeah.
And that's the question, is your obligation of shmira in a society.
Right.
Yeah.